In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church this fourth Sunday of Advent as we worship together and celebrate God's love for us. It is great to see so many folks back from far and wide, and we look forward to everyone joining for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room following the worship service as we gather together here today. There will be a brief congregational meeting following the worship service here in the sanctuary after the benediction, and that purpose of that is to approve the terms of call for your co-pastors next year, but also to elect our pastor nominating committee for the permanent co-pastor position at that search getting underway. Please take note of the welcome pads that you'll find at the end of the pews and pass them down the pew so that we may greet you by name following the worship service. If there is information that you wish to share with us by way of phone number or email address to stay in touch, we would love to have that information and keep you up to date on what's happening around here. Many, many thanks for the activities of this past weekend for the Jill and Suzanne who put together the poinsettia arrangement here on behalf of the deacons, for our Parents Day Out supervision crew and the kids who had a great time yesterday, and for our work yesterday at the food pantry, the Camp Street Food Pantry. There's lots going on in these days. And Christmas is approaching. Christmas Eve, we will be worshiping at 5 o'clock and on Tuesday evening here. If you would like to be costumed for the walk on nativity portion of the worship service, please come at 4:30 so that you may claim a costume in the Hope Room before we enter into the worshipful sense of this time here in the sanctuary and the excitement of Christmas Eve that is always around here. This is your last Sunday to purchase alternative giving mission gifts with the outreach committee over by the mission bulletin board in the Hope Room, and we hope that you will take advantage of that as we support a number of local and international missions through this year. Are there other announcements this morning? Jill?
A few people have yet to pay for their poinsettias, so we don't have a deacon's fund in the hole. Make sure you give your payment to Joanne, or to me if you're really quick today.
There are also the 2014 offering envelopes are available for pickup in the Hope Room in this corner, right behind the PowerPoint station of the Hope Room. And if you need envelopes and your name is not there, please see Dan Blackford, our financial secretary. Thank
you. Today is the last day to sign up for January 10th hockey game with the youth and church, $17 per ticket. And to make this a success, we need as many people as possible, please.
And that's all church. It's not just for youth. Anyone who wants to go to ice hockey can go to that.
I don't see a lot of kids that were here yesterday, but their plates with their cookies downstairs that did not get taken home yesterday.
So if you are a parent without your children here and need to pick up those plates, please do. Okay? All right. Okay,
Jerson. Good morning. It's about Bible study. Next Sunday, no Bible study, but we will be resuming the Bible study on the 5th, January the 5th, 9 o'clock up in the coach's room.
Thank you. That's Sunday morning Bible study. Yes.
Since this is my second Sunday here, I'm still working on names. So please wear your name tags and help me. I would appreciate it.
Let us worship God in song.
Good morning. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love.
Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's perfect love in human form. Those who believe in him and live in him live in love. Love transforms and perfects all things. It never ends.
We light this candle today to remind us that God is love. We thank God for hope God gives us, for the peace God bestows, the joy God pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way. Let us pray. O God of love, Emmanuel, send your light into our hearts at this time. Help us to be ready for the time of Christ's appearing. Grant us that we may so dwell in him that his perfect love fills our entire being. Make our worship a time in which we may celebrate your love and are made ready to show that love to the whole world, both today and forevermore. Amen.
Bearing testimony to God's perfect love poured out for us in the coming of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive with Christ. Let us come then to open ourselves to God, first in silence, then confessing in prayer together." Let us pray. In prayer together, God of the loving heart, we confess before you those places in our hearts where we have refused you entrance, people we have refused to love, habits we never got around to changing, good things we have left undone. Come to us in the light of Christ. Show us a new way to live and love, so that Christ may find a home among us. Be known among us now and forever. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing the fourth verse of our song of confession, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus," number one in the big hymnal.
I know it.
The light is lighting in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another, and we invite you to share those as we pray them together here and in this week to come. For those of you who have been praying fervently for Ashley and the adoption situation in Kenya, they are going again to court tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in Kenya, so please keep them in your prayers that that the mercy will be shown forth in this time. Prayers on this side.
Continued prayers for Walter.
Prayers for my friend Virginia, who fell on the ice and has a compound fracture of her ankle and a lot of rehab coming up. And prayers for our pet therapy dog, Lady, who has been very sick.
Continue prayers for Juliet, who has been moved to rehab at the moment.
Prayers of joy for my friend Kelly's son, who came home from the intensive care unit on Thursday and is doing well.
Prayers for my older brother who lost his mom this week.
Good morning. I have a joy. I just want to say that how happy I am to have my entire family home with me, but I mostly want to thank PPC for your prayers these last 2 weeks for me in seminary. The last time I was at church was when Kathy Cooper spoke, and that held me out for 2 weeks, so thank you, Kathy, and thank you, PPC.
Just want to thank everyone for their prayers for Dawson. He's doing great. He finally broke his fever on Thursday, so thank you all for praying for him. And just prayers that we all stay healthy as we travel on Christmas Day to Ohio.
You know, it is such a joy to work with the children of this church. We had such a good time yesterday, but I have to compliment our parents. Somebody must be doing something right, because one very wise 7-year-old little girl looked up at me and said, "Christmas isn't about presents, it's about God."
And because it's all about God, I thank God for this precious moment that we have every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock up there, the Bible study. Because of the Bible study, I have known more about myself. Because when I know about God, I know about myself as well. Thank God for this precious moment, 9 o'clock on Sundays. Up there.
In the last couple of weeks, 4 babies have been born to students at my school. So I wanted to just have prayers for little Giovanni, Marangelis, Caden, and Eliel, and their families too.
For a number of weeks now, we've been praying for the Sorvillo family. Rob, my best friend Lori's husband, was in a terrible car accident in mid-November, and he actually is coming home this weekend. I'm not sure of exactly what day, but he's going to be home for Christmas, and that's a wonderful joy for the family. And even though he'll have to sleep in a bed in the living room because he can't climb the stairs yet, they're just really happy for him to be home. So continue prayers for them as he adjusts back into home life.
Prayers for the Fishers who traveled yesterday with a child with strep throat, a new case of strep throat in the car. And also prayers for anybody else who's traveling. Brooke and I and Nathan are traveling home to people with the flu. So prayers for all of that.
Let us pray. God of light and life, into this world you came, and you meet us again in this season. Help us to wait expectantly, with hope, with peace, with joy, with love, to know your presence and celebrate its gift as it weaves in and out of the circumstances of our lives. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts and joys of life, for they are many around us. For laughing and playing children and adults in community together, in Parents' Day Out and in service at Camp Street, in the beauty of these flowers remembering so many. For Kelly home from ICU, for the opportunity to have family home for the holidays or travel to them, even in the midst of sickness. We give you praise for Dawson's recovery this week, the fellowship of the Bible study, for the joy of welcoming Rob home this weekend. We pray, O Lord, in and through these things that you might continue to bless those opportunities that we have to celebrate the moments of life that you give us. We pray, O Lord, for those who wait for your healing touch. May they know the strength of your presence. Touch them with your grace, with a hope and a peace the world cannot give and can never take away. We pray for Melinda, for Juliet, Henry and Bridget's mother, for Trey, for Ken and Jen, for Walter, for Virginia, for Lady, for the students and families of these new babies at the Noel Academy and for the ministry to those students there. For the Fisher family and Helena's strep throat and strong health for all of them and for all who travel into family in this time. Help us, O God, to remember our world, to find ways in to make a difference in big and small ways as you call us forth into this world you have created. We pray for all who are struggling in these days with unexpected circumstances, the pressures of unemployment and underemployment, for family situations not always as we would wish them to be, for homelessness and grief, for those in places of war and disaster in recovery. We pray, O Lord, your mercy in the court tomorrow, Kenya, for Ashley's adoption at 9 o'clock, for April Older's brother in grief, for all the traveling mercies that we need in this season. Lead us forth, O God, into times of resting and pushing as they are needed, with the wonder and mystery of this season to light the way to your birth anew in our lives. Help us to see and receive that grace, moment by moment, day by day. In the power of your Son, our Lord, we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Time for the children's message. Yeah, you did really fast. We're going to have to get real close so you can see the pictures. I'll try to walk along here so you can all see an angel. But yeah, the angel's in the tree, but look at this angel. Does that look like any angel you ever saw before? What's the matter with this angel? Well, it's a boy, yeah. An angel can be right, a boy or a girl. Look at his shoes.
Okay. Angels don't have shoes.
You don't think so? Well, this one does.
That's kind of funny.
It is.
I don't think that's a real angel.
You don't think it's a real angel? Why not? Well, look at his wings. His wings are all chewed up. Yeah. It looks like somebody tore his wings, doesn't it? Isn't that a funny looking angel? Well, you know, we have this idea that angels are supposed to be all pretty and white and have these nice wings and everything. But that's not true at all. They can look like this. Maybe this is like the angel that came to see Mary, you know?
I just made snow angels.
Yes. And that's a lot of fun, isn't it? But we have to have snow to do that.
But let's play like this. In the backyard, so I
snow yeah, that's fun. But they don't like real angels either, really. But they're pretty. They're really pretty. So this is the angel, supposedly, according to this book, that came to tell Mary she was going to have a baby. Can you imagine what she felt like when she saw this angel coming crashing through her tree? And then they went in and sat at a table. And the angel said, "Mary, you're going to have a baby." And she goes, "What? That can't be. I'm not married yet." But the angel said, "You know what? You're going to have one anyway because God is going to be the daddy of this baby." So they sat down and they talked about it, this poor old angel. And so what do you have to do when you're going to have a baby? Some of you have brothers and sisters that are younger than you, and you had to wait and wait and wait for your mommy to have that baby, didn't you? And she, what did she do? She got bigger and bigger and bigger as the baby grew. Do you remember that? Any of you have little baby brothers and sisters?
I have a brother.
You do? So.
He's 2 years old.
Yeah. Well, we're getting really close to Christmas, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Mary's been growing and growing and growing, and look how big she is now. And there was this ruler, Herod, and Herod said, "I want everybody to go to their hometowns and register." And for some people, that's going to be a long, long trip. I know for a lot of people here, it's a long ways where you used to live to here, isn't it? So, yep. So anyway, they lived close enough, they could just ride a donkey to get there. And so Joseph helped Mary get on the donkey, and they rode, and she rode, and they finally came down the hill, and look at all the people that are going to Bethlehem. Look at all of those people. Where do you suppose they're all going to be able to sleep? They're going to have to sleep on the floor. They're going to have to sleep in the trees. They're going to have to sleep everywhere. No, you don't think they have to sleep in trees? Oh, well. But look at them all. Here they are all, and we're all going to be waiting for the birth of Jesus, but it's not time yet, is it? Yeah. So we have to wait a few more days for baby Jesus to be born, and all these people are in Bethlehem waiting too. And so Tuesday night, if you're here, we're going to remember that baby Jesus being born, right? Okay, so we're going to have to just wait until then. Can you wait? Are you good at waiting? Are you good at waiting? You got to wait just a few more days, all right? A few more days, you wait, okay? And we'll see you Tuesday night, and we'll celebrate Jesus, okay? Okay, let's pray together. God, thank you that we can wait for Jesus to come and celebrate Christmas. Help us to be patient, and we'll wait. Amen. You can go to your...
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little of you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For therefore, the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. The land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." A second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place and to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had bore a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, we come before thee, busy minds, still them. Open our hearts to you. May we feel your presence and be open to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time of the year, all we hear is Mary. Mary, 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 Mary. I don't really have anything against Mary because my middle name's Marie, you know. Of course, it's a form of Mary. However, I always wonder, what about Joseph? Does he just go trailing along behind Mary all the time? I have to admit, the story of Joseph doesn't really make a very good Christmas pageant. I mean, he's lying in a bed dreaming. How do we make a pageant out of that? And yet, I believe that Joseph is a very important part to this drama. We can't ignore Joseph. And Matthew doesn't want us to. Matthew doesn't just toss Joseph off with a line like Luke does and say, she was engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. End of story. No. Matthew wants us to really think about Joseph. And he starts out the book of Matthew with this genealogy. You know, one of those things that kind of makes you go, you know, the begats out of the Old Testament. But this one's different. This one is really different. We learn immediately that this is an account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. This Jesus is rooted deeply in the tradition, going all the way back to Father Abraham. Some of you went to camp maybe saying that song, Father Abraham had many children. Well, Jesus is one of those many children that came down the line. But Joseph somehow is related to this house of David, which is very important. And we read through here and we expect to see all these, you know, famous men out of the Bible who are the ancestors of this baby Jesus to come. Only as we're reading along here, we suddenly see Zerah by Tamar and Perez. Well, maybe you don't remember your Bible, but Tamar seduced her father-in-law in order to have a child. Oh, and then we just keep on reading here, and here is this amazing woman named Rahab. Remember the Battle of Jericho? There was a prostitute who protected the spies, hid them from the authorities, and helped them get out of town safely. And she put down this red cord outside of her window so they would know which person to protect when they attacked the city. Rahab, interesting. Then in the very next sentence, we read about Ruth. She was a Moabite, a foreigner. And yet she's in the genealogy. Ruth came back from Moab to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She had a baby who became the grandfather of King David. And as we read on through this list, we see another surprising name, the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba. The woman that David took and then had her husband killed in battle. Now, you expect this genealogy of Jesus to read like a who's who from Israel. And yet it doesn't. We have the most exceptional, unusual, unbelievable people on this list, in this genealogy. And so we know that we have a God who does some pretty unusual things. And maybe using a virgin named Mary to have a baby isn't so far-fetched after all. But poor Joseph doesn't know the whole story. He just knows that his betrothed, Mary, has come up pregnant before they got married. Now, in this society, virginity is very important. The whole marriage arrangement is much more formal than what we are accustomed to. We go out and we date, we get engaged, and it's all nice and everything. But they had to have the marriage arranged. So Joseph has gone in to talk to Mary's father. He's agreed to pay a bride's price. He's agreed to pay a dowry. And her father, in turn, has agreed that she will bring certain assets into the marriage. Maybe so many sheep and so many chickens for the flock. But she will bring some things to the wedding, to the marriage as well. And so before they can actually consummate their marriage, they're married legally when they sign the paper that he's going to pay all this stuff. But they can't consummate the marriage until he has actually paid Mary's father all that money. And he apparently has done that now. And they're down to the stage where they're going to actually consummate the marriage. And that means that Joseph and his friends would come to Mary's father's house. There'll be a room set aside. They will have a virginity cloth that they lay on the bed. They will have witnesses to whom they will hand this virginity cloth to prove that Mary is indeed a virgin. Whoops. Don't think it's going to happen, do you? And it tells us that Joseph is a righteous man. A righteous man knows what the rules of Deuteronomy say, that say if the woman is found to not be a virgin, the men of the town can come and haul her out of her father's house and stone her to death. Joseph knows this. He's a righteous man and he's going to uphold the law. And no matter how much he might love Mary, in order to show his love for God is greater, he has to uphold the law. But Joseph apparently also has some mercy and kindness in him as well, which is also part of that righteousness of being right with God. Poor Joseph, he must have had a lot of sleepless nights when he first got this news. And what can he do? He can leave her to her fate. He can refuse to marry her and state the reasons, and that would be a divorce. He would have to divorce her at this point. And if he divorces her, publicly saying, I'm not marrying her because, he will be able to keep the dowry. He will be able to keep the bride price. He will be able to keep all of the assets she would bring. But our scripture tells us Joseph chose to dismiss her quietly. That means that Joseph is not going to state a reason for the divorce. He's going to just plain sacrifice the dowry. He's going to sacrifice the bride price. He's going to give up all of those assets and just simply dismiss her quietly. Joseph is a righteous man. And he does all of this before he goes to bed one night and has a dream. we the readers know that she is going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph's not in on that part of the story yet. And so he goes to bed having made his decision. And he dreams. He dreams. And he is told, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for her child is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the prophet said. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. And what did Joseph do? He got up, and he did what God commanded. Didn't say he debated. Didn't say he doubted. Didn't say anything like that. Joseph got up and did what God commanded. And so we have Joseph. Joseph. Joseph is the first disciple. He did what was right. Not just what was righteous. He did what was right, what was just, and he did what God wanted. He trusted God in the midst of a very difficult situation. A situation that could bring him all kinds of ridicule, rejection. Can you imagine the tongues in Nazareth wagging? Did you hear about Mary? You know Joseph? You know what he did? And he takes this woman as his wife. He denies himself the privileges of a husband. He takes on a child to raise who is holy. And most importantly, he takes that baby and he gives it his family heritage. He claims that baby, and rather than the mother naming him, Joseph names him. And that means that Joseph is taking him in to his family. And so Jesus, our Savior, is a son of David. And it's all because of Joseph. So what we have when we look at Joseph, we have an example of what it means to be righteous, what it means to be faithful. And part of what that means is that we have to accept the fact that our God will do the most amazing thing. Sometimes with the strangest people. God doesn't pick the ones that are ordinary or the ones we might pick and say, oh, what a great person she or he would be to be a minister. God picks the ones that are saying, no, I don't want to be a minister. God picks people who are down and out. God has angels who serve as messengers to us, who don't look much like angels. They just look like you and me, maybe wearing a torn coat, shabby shoes, with mud all over their pants. Because our God is an amazing God. And like Joseph, we have to realize that the world is not all black and white, that it's full of grays. That righteousness is not necessarily about following a book of laws. but sometimes it's about following our hearts and what God is leading us to do and say, which we just know is right. And so, like Joseph, we sit in the quiet. Perhaps we dream, or maybe we don't trust our dreams. Maybe we listen to still, small voices. Maybe we sit together in a Bible study and read God's Word and talk about it and see what other people have to say. All I know is we do not get easy answers. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean life is going to be easy either. We're going to face challenges. We're going to face thorny situations, situations where we're not sure what to do. That we follow the example of Joseph. We'll listen. We'll listen very carefully in as many ways as possible for the Word of God. And when we hear that Word of God, we will do just that. Without asking questions, but saying, "Thank you, God, for answering." Let us pray. God, help us to be open to your answers, to your word, and help us to have the courage to do what you ask us, even if it might seem not only hard, but impossible. Thank you, God, for your wondrous work and your startling work. Amen.
Please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith. In Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Jesus Christ is God with man. He is the eternal Son of the Father, who became man and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. He is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue and complete his mission. This work of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is the foundation of all confessional statements about God, man, and the world. Therefore, the church calls men to be reconciled to God and one another. This is the time in our service for our offering. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Members are reminded to stay for the congregational meeting, which will be hopefully very brief. Visitors and friends who do not wish to sit in on the congregational meeting are invited to go ahead to coffee hour following the benediction and during the amen.
Open wide your hearts. The King of Glory waits. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.
Do we have Lori Gerard? Is she downstairs teaching today, or is Lori here? Okay, could someone go get Lori so that we could have minutes? Okay, and Jenny, if you could come forward. Brooke, if you could come forward. Judy's already forward. We're going to begin first with prayer for this congregational meeting. We do seem to have a quorum. Thank you all members for staying. I'm sure there will still be coffee hour when we finish. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have blessed this congregation in so many ways through so many times of change. We pray that your spirit would be on us as we gather here for this congregational meeting for the purpose of electing this search committee for the permanent co-pastor, for the purpose of new terms of call in the new co-pastor configuration for this transition time. Guide us, we pray, that all that we do might be your spirit alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I will call forth, Lori is here. I will call forth Jenny first for the election of the pastor nominating committee. The nominating committee has been at work to seek a diversely representative group from our congregation to serve on that committee, and she is here to present that slate of officers.
So we have gathered a good group of folks here to be on the PNC. So I'm going to read off the names. Gina Bay.
If you're here, please stand. Or
if you're here, you can
probably
stand.
Already in coffee.
Yeah. Phil Chan, Lee Vanderbon. He's right there. There you go. Letitia TT, Dan Varon, Jonick Foster, Beatrice Conover, and Eddie Ajiman.
It now. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Okay. All those in favor of electing the slate as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Okay. They are elected. Very good. Thank you to our nominating committee for working and discerning those folks for this next important step in our church's ministry. In terms of call for the co-pastors, we have copies to pass out to people. And Brooke, if you would come forward and say a few words about that on behalf of personnel. Maybe a couple. Or do you want me to say it? I've got copies.
Just a couple of things. So we, as you look at the terms of call as they go around, one thing you'll notice is that we're now calling B and Chris at two-thirds time. So for Chris, that's going up from halftime, and we firmly believe that it more nearly reflects the actual amount of work that she's putting in, especially during this transitional time. And B has agreed to also work at two-thirds time with an emphasis on worship and preaching and visitation, I believe it is. The Board of Pensions, I think we're fortunate. B, in a sense, B is officially retired, so we have to pay for B is what they call a post-retirement something or other, and it's a lot less than we would be paying if we were paying the full Board of Pensions medical pension and death and disability for her. Let's see what else to tell you about this. I mean, if you look down at the total pastor, you'll see that we're saving about $20,000 a year on the terms this time, and then the vacation is there. Anything else I should point out?
No, I think we'll ask for a few questions, and then B and I will absent ourselves in case you want to speak about something that you don't want us to hear. Are there any other questions about that that we might be able to answer in terms of the process of what we're doing? Please note that we are going down from 1.5 to 1 1/3. In terms of your pastors, but there has been some money to compensate Jenny Spanik for the work she's doing with Nurture and the confirmation class in this transition time that we've shifted from. Okay. Well, B, you and I will step out. And Judy will moderate.
I guess I would just say personally that I think we're getting look at it just financially, which I think is probably not the right way to look at it, but I think we're getting a really good deal. I think that we put down 32 hours two-thirds time, and if you think of that, I mean, pastors don't normally work 40-hour weeks, as we all know, but if you do think of it in terms of 40-hour week, that's more than two-thirds right there. So,
okay. Any questions or comments from anybody? In that case, I will ask for a vote on this. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Thank you all. It's nice to be working for another year. And it's wonderful to have a co-pastor again. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, bless us as we continue to wait expectantly for your coming again in our lives and in our lives in ministry and in work together. We thank you for all the blessings of this year, all the people in leadership who have stepped forward to serve in so many ways, and we ask your blessing on this new pastor nominating committee seeking to organize for this next search. Guide us, we pray, always into your kingdom alone. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed to coffee hour.